Good morning, brothers and sisters from the Ottawa family. I want to welcome all of you, irrespective if you're from Ottawa or anywhere across the world. We are so excited to be worshiping by the beautiful Ottawa River this morning. And I am thrilled to talk about this topic. So lend me your ear for a few minutes this morning. And I really believe this is something for us to examine and understand in a greater way. If you're visiting with us for the first time, the topic that we're going to be talking about this morning is what we're striving to become. We're not yet there, but this is what we really believe God asks of us in our relationship one with another. The title of my sermon this morning is My Joy and My Crown. Now that comes from Philippians chapter 4 in verse 1. It says this, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I long and love, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." Paul describes his relationship with the church in Philippi as his joy and his crown. People that he longed for and people that he loved deeply. I put before you, this is beyond a cursory relationship. This is beyond a hi, how are you relationship. This is beyond, man, it's good to see you this Sunday. And maybe even this Wednesday. This is beyond such relationships. And I believe it's modeling for us the relationships that God expects His children to have with one another. You know, one of the most joyful things for me is when I watch my children and their relationship and the depth of the relationship one for another. You know, I mentioned that this is beyond a hi, how are you? The birthday and wedding visits, maybe even the funerals. Dare I say this is even beyond the Good Samaritan relationship. And let me explain that a little bit. When the Good Samaritan found a man who was in need, he saw him and he went and he took care of this man. He dropped him off to a place where he could be tended for and be taken care of. And not only did he take him, he stopped dead in his tracks and he took him where he needed to go. But he also took care of him financially. He wrote a check, if you would. And he took care of the man's physical need. He saw a need and he met a need. And I absolutely think that those relationships are crucial. That's one of the mottos with an organization I'm associated with, HOPE. See a need, meet a need. And I certainly believe there is a place for such relationships. But that's not the relationship I'm talking about this morning. Good Samaritan relationships are fantastic, and there's certainly a place for them. The relationships I'm talking about that I want to challenge your heart on this morning is relationships that are described as my joy and my crown, those I live for and that I long for. Even another relationship that we see in the scriptures where Jesus had an interaction with what's now termed a woman at the well. It's a famous interaction that Jesus had where he shared with her the challenges in her life and ultimately brought her to the point where she started believing in him as the Messiah. And she left there telling all the people in all the cities around her that she had met the Messiah. And here Jesus broke a lot of barriers a lot of racial barriers, being that he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan, a lot of gender barriers in that he was a male and of course she was a female. And she was not the most upstanding character in the community. And yet he reached across those lines. And it's a relationship that is exemplary. But that's not the relationship I'm talking about this morning. Those are absolutely part of what we need to be. But I want to talk a little bit with a different angle. Where relationships are described as my joy and my crown. Paul talks about this kind of relationship earlier in the book of Philippians, and this is how he describes it. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now that's a lot of times. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul, in his relationship with the church in Philippi, speaks about great affection. You know, it's interesting to know that Philippi was a place where a lot of the retired Roman soldiers went to live. And as you know, Paul was, of course, a Roman prisoner. And he had befriended a lot of people, fellow prisoners, as well as a lot of the soldiers where he was being imprisoned. And maybe a lot of them got converted. Maybe a lot of them became friendly with Paul. And he had a sense of affection, a relationship beyond a cursory relationship. And then he says something that's quite interesting. He says his prayer is that their love may abound more and more in depth of insight. What does that mean? I certainly want to throw out a thought about what that means. You know, a lot of us grow in relationships where we love people, or we would like to be loved, or rather we love people the way that we would like to be loved. In other words, hey, I like this. I like if someone would do this for me or do this to me. And that's a level of insight where we want people to love us the way that we would like to be loved. I think another depth of insight is learning to love people the way that they need to be loved. Let me say that again. Not loving people necessarily or only the way that I would like to be loved. You know the golden rule that says treat people the way that we would like to be treated. And there's certainly a place for that. But a deeper level of love, a deeper level of insight, is to love people the way that they need to be loved. You know, especially in our world today, there are a lot of things that are coming up. Gender, the way we treat the other gender, especially men towards women. And learning to love people the way they need to be loved. Or be it in the racial tension that is all around the world. And to learn to listen and dialogue and love people the way that they need to be loved. or even in our great country, as literally the dead are speaking about not a proud history in certain areas of our country. And to realize, how do we love the indigenous community? Paul writes and he says, there is a level of love that I am praying that you get to. That a depth of insight, that your love may abound to such a level that you may be able to discern not what is good, but what is best in regard to relationships. And so this morning, I want to spend just a few minutes examining three natures, if you would, three aspects of relationship that are described in the scriptures that I believe begins to help us to understand where we can describe relationships as my joy and my crown. The first relationship that I want to talk about is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we read about something that Paul was feeling in his heart as he was in Corinth there. And this is what he says. Now, when I went to Troas, in chapter 2, verse 12. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me. Now, this is remarkable. I know certainly as a preacher, man, one of the most exciting and fulfilling and one of the ways I feel God is speaking to me and that I am following in the path of God and I'm following the mission that He's given me is the idea of preaching the gospel and doors being opened and people responding to the gospel and our longing and our vision ultimately is this Ottawa River will not only act as a backdrop for a sermon, but really be the baptistry for many souls, ultimately for Ottawans. And that's something that fires us up. And actually, as someone who tries to follow Christ and tries to follow His mission, whenever there's a door that's open, it's a way that it speaks to me, this is what God wants me to do. Even coming here to Ottawa about 2.5 years ago, and to see what God has done with the disciples here and their faith really has cemented for me that this was the right decision. And yet, we see something here about Paul, and he says this. He found that the Lord had opened the door. Verse 13, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. Now, check this out. A preacher's dream. An apostle's dream. To find an open door and preaching the gospel. And yet, Paul's relationship with Titus was such that he was unsettled in his heart. He didn't know how his brother was doing. And so that door that was opened, he left it because he was unsettled in his heart about how Titus was doing. That challenges me. Let me ask you a question. Are those the kinds of relationships that you have? That your heart is unsettled, that you cannot have a peace of mind, that you perhaps can't even sleep when you don't know how your brother or sister is doing. It's not like Paul was playing golf in Corinth. It's not like he was holidaying. It's not like he was just merely visiting family. Paul went there, the door was open, the mission that he was called to was being fulfilled. It's when he was met on the road to Damascus And when he went to meet Ananias, Ananias told him what's going to happen of him. And this was coming to fruition. And ultimately, his heart was unsettled because he didn't know how his brother Titus was doing. You know, this pandemic has afforded us the opportunity to be locked in our place with justifiable reason. And truthfully, just in a cursory manner, wonder how our brother and sister is doing. Are we unsettled? Are we unsettled in our heart when we don't, man, I haven't seen such and such for a while? On Sunday, we had our first outdoor service in a while. We saw some people that we hadn't seen for a while, and it was just an absolute joy to see people that they hadn't seen up front and face to face. But my joy, my crown, those I live and I long for, when Paul describes, it's why he was able to speak with such conviction that his relationship with Titus was such that he was unsettled in his heart because he didn't know what he was doing. It's not, get this, it's not like he knew Titus was not doing well. He didn't even know. He could have been doing fine. That relationships are at such the level that we are unsettled when we don't know how our brother and our sister are doing. You know, when I was going through the sermon with my wife, she always gives me the good points. I mean, let it be true, let the truth be known. She writes these things. But she said to me, she said, "Honey, do you think this is perhaps what John 13 was talking about when it says that by this all men will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another? That this is the depth of relationship, that this is the model relationship that is put on a pedestal to say, this is how all men will know by your disciples, your love one for another, that you're so unsettled, that your love is so concerning, that your face is not smiling because you don't know how your brother or sister is doing. Could it be that that's what Jesus meant? Because I tell you, there are a lot of organizations that had Good Samaritan love. You write a check, you go do a service project. And believe me, I'm not down against that. I do Good Samaritan projects, okay? As a matter of fact, there's a charitable company called the Good Samaritans. Nothing wrong with that. But there are a lot of those. But what Jesus talks about when he says, this is how people will know that you're my disciples, when we're unsettled in our heart about how our brother is doing. Another relationship I want to talk about is found in Matthew chapter 26. Now, this is one of those that takes it to another level, at least in my mind, in Matthew chapter 26. Now, the Christ was the most intimate with his Father. Jesus was as close to the Father as you could possibly have. When Jesus was walking this earth, the Bible tells us that early in the morning he would get up and he would go and spend time with his Father. He wanted to have intimacy with his Father. And yet, if anybody on this earth could make an excuse and a justifiable one that says, I don't need other relationships, I don't need intimate relationships, it had to have been Jesus, the Lord of glory, the one who was one with the Father, the one who could have angels tend to him. And yet we see Jesus chose some relationships on earth where he, yes, talked about the Good Samaritan, where he, yes, talked to the woman at the well, but he had intimate relationship with some men that he formed. First with 12 and then an inner circle with 3. And we get an insight to this relationship that he had with these 3 in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. And this is what it says. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And if you're familiar with the scripture, you realize the Garden of Gethsemane was the place that Jesus went just before he was about to go to the cross. The purpose for which he came was now being fulfilled. So once again, here we see the Christ now fulfilling the purpose for which he came. If anybody could be resolute about the purpose for which they came, it had to have been Jesus. And here Jesus was going to the Garden of Gethsemane, ultimately leading to the cross. And look what happens. It says this. He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John that is, along with him, and they began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, God incarnate, in his moment of being overwhelmed and troubled, he pulled relationships that he felt he could journey with through this moment of trial. Do you have such relationships? Who do we call? And I want to challenge especially the men here. Men, we don't like to show our weaknesses. We like to know everything's under control. My marriage is fine. My parenting is fine. I'm on top of my finances. You don't talk to me about those things. Man, you want to talk to me about how to hit a volleyball? Sure. You want to talk to me about how I can fix my car? Come on over. Show me how to change my oil. Talk to me about changing my brakes. But when it comes to intimate things, times of being overwhelmed and sorrow, if Jesus needed his friends to walk him through this time, I ask you, what about you? What about me? Is this what Jesus meant when he said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples by your love one for another? Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, I was not talking about a cursory relationship, not even a loving relationship, but my joy and my crown relationship, where we're unsettled in our heart and have no peace of mind because we don't know how our brother is doing. Almost in a world where everybody's got to fend for themselves. Or in a moment of being overwhelmed and sorrowful, if the Lord of glory needed his buddies to be with him. Are you fighting this on your own? This pandemic has taken a toll on a lot of people. Do you know how your brother and sister is doing? Do you really know? Do you care? My joy and my crown. Paul was unsettled in his heart. Jesus, this is the reason he came. And yet, at this moment, when he was fulfilling the mission for which he came, he said, I needed some help from my buddies. I needed some help that is a relationship with such at a level that he says, come and walk with me through this time. I need you like I never needed you before. This is the Son of God, whose intimacy with the Father was unmatched and will never be rivaled. My joy and my crown. And the last dynamic in a relationship I want to talk about is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We find this description of relationships in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul uses the metaphor of the human body. And he talks about the connection with each other. And I want to put it in this context, right? This is what it says. Just as a body, though one, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And Paul describes, and he's writing to the church here in Corinth, and he says, you know, I want you to remember that when we were all baptized into Christ, and irrespective of what background you came from, Jews or Greeks, I mean, we now formed one body. And so he goes on to describe the nature of these relationships. And look what he says in verse 26. He says, well, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Paul describes this relationship, one for another, not only as a body, but also as one where I suffer, other people suffer with me. That if I rejoice, every part rejoices with me. Now, it's interesting. A lot of times we find out after the fact of when someone is going through a tough time. And that could have a responsibility in both parts. That can be at least two-dimensional. One where someone is not sharing about how they're feeling, or they don't feel as intimate and as close to people to share when they're going through a tough time. There's a breakdown there. But another dynamic is that maybe we don't care to find out, or we don't want to know when our brother or sister is suffering. The Bible describes these relationships. When one part suffers, everybody suffers. I feel you. That's the original, I feel you. I feel your suffering. Not be well, you're in my thoughts and prayers kind of condolence. Hey, I'm praying for you, brother. But that I actually, in my stomach, it's churning because my brother is suffering, my sister is suffering. I too suffer with you. You know, it's amazing. In North American Christianity, it's become such an individualistic religion. So we live in our own houses, and we live with fences and with tinted windows and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that our house needs to be a commune, but there's got to be a balance of where we're a community. Here's another dynamic to this relationship. Not only when one part suffers, every part suffers with it, but when one part rejoices, other parts rejoice with it. You know, I'm right now we're going to have a couple of weddings coming up real soon in the church. And one of the things that I talked to the people who are getting married, I shared with them how being married in the church, and I know, of course, there's pandemic limitations, but one of the things is that it's important for everybody to share that joy with you. Well, I'm not sure if anybody's going to want to do this. What can we do? You know, we can't afford for a lot of people to come to the sit-down reception. I said, I'm not talking about that. That sometimes in our minds we have the world in the way that it is. Man, but the idea that I want to rejoice with you. When something's happening in your life, I want to share that joy with you. Paul says that's the kind of relationship that when my friend Alex says something good happened to him, that I actually rejoice with him. Not in my heart saying, wow, congratulations, bro, and in my heart be jealous or envious. Or wish it was me. But there's a true joy and elation that when someone has something good happen, we rejoice with them. And I put before you, there cannot be this level of relationships of suffering with others and suffering with them and sharing their joy if we don't have intimacy in our relationship. If we do not know what's going on in other people's lives. My joy and my crown. Is this what Jesus meant when he said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples? Is this the kind of relationship? I put before you, if we are going to help people understand this kind of relationship, we need to model it. If we need to let the world know that these are disciples and we are disciples, we need to model it. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge myself. Is this the intimate relationships that we have? My joy and my crown. I'll close with this scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul describes what it was like with his relationship. And so he says this in verse 8. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. The idea that sharing the gospel is ultimately not the model of relationship. Is that good? Absolutely. But ultimately, Paul writes and he says, I shared with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. Sharing our lives. Beyond a cursory relationship, beyond writing a check. And he closes that section in verse 17, and this is what he says. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short while, in person, not in thought. What a poetic way of describing a relationship, that I feel orphaned because I am not with you. I'm separated. That I feel rejected. I feel alone. I feel orphaned. I feel no connection. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. And look at how he describes this relationship. See if it sounds familiar. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Paul describes that on that great day, it's not how much money he had in his bank account, not how much retirement he left for his children, not what kind of house he lived in, not how much education he had, not how fit he was. And are those things good? Sure they are. He says, ultimately, though, what matters, it's me and you. Are you not my joy and my crown? Are you not my glory? Are you not? That's how Paul describes his relationships. I put before you, if we're going to make an impact in our community and if we're going to make an impact in our country at large, cursory relationships are good, but will not cut the mustard, so to speak. There's an intimacy of relationships. There's an opening up of myself, and there's a willingness to go and help people to get opened. If the Christ in his most difficult time in his life needed his Peter, James, and John, how much more so you and I? If the greatest and most effective Christian was unsettling his mind when he didn't know how his brother Titus was doing, how much more so you and I? When Paul writes and he says, we hurt with others when they hurt. We rejoice with them when they rejoice. That's not a cursory relationship. That's not something that we find out about later. It's a very Canadian thing to keep to ourselves. There are certain things that we're community-oriented about, but intimacy of relationships, we got to ask ourselves this question. Would you describe relationships beyond your children, perhaps, as your joy and your crown? Paul wasn't describing his children in that manner, physically. Are you not my glory and my joy? May God bless us as we examine our relationships here to see, maybe is this what Jesus meant when he said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. We'll see you guys next Sunday, where we'll have an outdoor service. We'll be meeting at Vincent Massey Park. If you're in the area, come 10 o'clock. We look forward to seeing you. We're practicing, of course, all the public health measures, and we look forward to seeing you. God bless you.